Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, all the power, adoration, majesty. You are great, you are mighty, there is nobody like you. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the one who knows the end from the beginning. You are the one who has power over death. There is nobody like you. Father, we worship you. We worship you. Take all the glory this morning, O God. All the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to praise the Lord. All right, good. Amen. You know, there was a testimony that was shared here on Sunday. How many of you had that testimony? You had that testimony. You missed the testimony. You were there. Ah. Okay. You know, I've been thinking about that testimony, and I was thinking about it during the week. And what struck me is the simple fact that people hear the word and they do something with the word. And as Pastor always says, it produces the result. But what struck me was this. How many people missed that word? How many people were in the same service? Had the same word? In fact, I had to go back and I was thinking in my mind, what was that word? Peradventure, I missed it myself. To go and check. So how can you go from a position of you've got something to you've got three offers and one of them offering a six-figure salary? Come on, that's mind-blowing. That is mind-blowing. That is mind-blowing. And you listen to what she said. There was a word. In fact, she was not here. Her husband went home to tell her. They put it on their confession list and they started to confess. So why won't God give multiple blessings? Why won't He give way above what you are thinking, what you can imagine? You know, the degree to which the Word of God works for you is determined by the actions you take with that word. If you don't take the right actions, you will not get the results. You will not get the results. You know, as I was thinking about it during the week, the thing really shook me, because I said in Matthew 23, if you start from the first few verses of Matthew 23, you know, Jesus was saying, you know, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Do you know what that means? That means you are hearing the word. You are acting like I am a custodian of the word. But in secret and in private, you are not doing the word. That's what it means. In private, you are not doing the thing. But when you are there collectively, everything about church goes right. You say the right things. You talk the right talk. But once you leave church, the language is different. Once you leave where you have Christians, the language is different. So you go through a series of messages like the seed experience that Pastor has been talking about. And as the testimony was going on, I was just saying, those were some of the principles Pastor was talking about there. Get the word. Put it in your confession thing. Speak the word to yourself. And this is somebody using that and they're getting the result. Now, the good news is this. The word and the spirit never expires. Never expires. So there is no expiry date on the word. None. So you pick a scripture from Old Testament, you appropriate it, you will get New Testament results with it. You pick a New Testament scripture, you will get New Testament results with it. You will get that. You will get that. And you know, one of the things Pastor talked about in the early days of the church is this thing about people who are in debt, people who are discouraged, people who are going through challenges. They will come into the church, they will hear the word, and they become national saviors. You leave here knowing exactly what to do. Next time, if you are in a similar situation, you know what to do. You know how you did it. You know how to look out for the word. I was listening to a man of God share a testimony over the weekend. And he said, this couple were expecting a baby. And they went to the hospital for checkup and all that kind of stuff. And the doctors said, this baby is dead. There is no vital signs. This baby is dead. That the next thing left is, let's just take that baby out and forget it. So the husband said, is that your final? They say yes. Hold on. There is a service that is taking place. And this man of God is coming. I'm coming. So took the wife. Left the wife. Went for the service. As the service was going on, the man of God stopped and said, there is somebody here. They said that your baby you are carrying is dead. God says that that baby has come back to life. Now, of course, it was the man that was there. The wife was not, and it was the wife that was carrying the baby. The mom immediately left the service, picked the phone, called the wife. The minute the wife heard his voice, the baby started to beat. Listen, the word of God is more powerful than you can ever imagine. More powerful than you can ever imagine. All it takes is for you to believe that word and actually act on it. Do something about it. Do something about it. You are consciously doing something. You are consciously praying. You are consciously confessing. You are taking that word. I looked at my life and I said, am I doing this thing like Pastor said? Am I following the steps? And I kept looking at it. And looking at it, and I said, no, I will not be left behind. That wealth, I will enter into the wealth myself. I will not be left behind. Those are the words where you say amen for yourself first. You deliver the rest to the people. I will say the amen for myself. Praise the Lord. Now this thing is important because, you know, last week we were talking about the disposition that apostles and prophets had towards prayer. Now, I hope you realize that you are the apostle and the prophet of your own life. So you don't necessarily need an apostle or a prophet to be the prophet over your life. They have their place. Okay, so an apostle has its place, the prophet has its place, a teacher has its place, or they all have their place. But you primarily are the person laying the foundation for your own life. You are the person prophesying into your own life. You are the person taking the word and using the word to produce results in your own life. So that man whose wife had a dead baby in the womb, he said, "I'm coming. I'm going to the service." What was he saying? "I am going to trust the God that we have been talking about. If that God is there, he will do my own." I've had stories of people in the middle of the night, their child died. And they said, "What are we going to do? We're going to take the child away." He said, No, don't take the child away." They took the child in the middle of the night. They went to the pastor's house. Baby is dead. They tried to get in. They couldn't get in. They left the baby at the gate. And said, "No, this baby will get up." And they sat down there. You'll leave. Left the baby at the gate. And then suddenly, pastor comes out. They say, "What's happening?" And they take a mantle, pow, on the baby. Baby comes back to life. That is the God we're serving. But the release of that power of God depends on the actions you take. It depends on the actions you take. So, how many people have come to church this morning with a specific desire that, "Oh God, this man of God preaching today must say something that will affect my life"? Or is it a tradition? Is it the religious activity of being in church? Because there is power in the word. In fact, I was thinking about this over the weekend. I was saying to myself that if the God of the Bible is not showing up in church regularly, then maybe what we have is not church. The God of the Bible must be showing up. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he must be there. He must be doing the same things he was doing then. He must be doing the same things now. He must be doing the same things now. So one of the things that we saw last week, we talked about when you look in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, we talked about, actually let's go there. Prayer is something that is the bedrock of what we do and what we need to do as believers. So in Acts of the Apostles, actually starting from verse 1, Jesus says something. He says, if you look at verse 8, he says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the utmost parts of the earth." You shall be witnesses. You will receive power, you will be witnesses. So one of the reasons we pray, one of the reasons we walk to stay in the presence of God, is so the results of that scripture can be manifest in our lives. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So what that means is this: if there is anybody in here, you are filled with the Holy Ghost with the physical evidence of speaking in tongues, you have received power. So it's not a case of you will. Actually, you have. You have. The issue is some people have, but they don't realize what they have. He says, "You shall receive power," but after you receive power, what do you do? Why do you receive power? It says that, "And you shall be witnesses." Witnesses. Witnesses. What are we witnessing? A witness says, "I was there when something happened." So you get to a court, and somebody has brought a case against another one, they will say, were there witnesses there? If you drive along the roads, you will see signs. There was an accident here. They are appealing for witnesses. Did you see anything? Did you hear anything? So we're saying, when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you will be a witness. You will be in a position where you can say, I was there. I saw what happened to Christ. It becomes a personal experience. So things have happened in your life that you can touch on and say, this was God. This had nothing to do with me. It was God. I did the things I was supposed to do, but the result that came out of it was God. In Mark's Gospel chapter 4, it talks about a man who sows a seed. And it says that this is the way the kingdom of God works. Let's open to it. Put your hands in Acts. We're going to come back to Acts. But Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 26. Mark 4, 26. It says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed in the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. So I don't really know how. All I know is there was a seed that went into the ground. All I know is I did what they said. All I know is I had a word that was released. I took that word. I put it on my prayer list. I put it on my confession list. I started to confess the word. The moment at which something turned around, I don't know. I don't know how that happens. But what I have discovered is in the midst of the doing, in the midst of the obedience, the power comes out. In the midst of the obedience. So every word of God you hear comes with an instruction. Pick up your bed and walk. Pick up your bed and walk. Go and show yourself to the priest. The healing came in the going. Go and wash in the pool. The healing came in the washing in the pool. So if you don't follow the instruction, you cannot possess the manifestation. If you don't follow the instruction, not possess the manifestation. You need to pick the instruction. What is the word saying to me? There is an instruction in every scripture. What are you doing with it? About it. You know, I was thinking that one of the big challenges that people have is that we judge people by what they do. We judge ourselves by what we think. So you look at yourself and you think, I'm a prayerful person. That's not the issue. You can think whatever you want. The question is, how often are you praying? How often are you praying? That's the question. When was the last time you spent time in prayer? Let's go back to Acts of the Apostles. So you will receive power. You shall be witnesses. What did they need to do to receive power? He said, do not depart from Jerusalem. So that was the place they were supposed to be. When the day of Pentecost was come,
in chapter 1, chapter 2. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of the sound of a rushing mighty wind. So they were where the instruction said they should be. Maybe there were some people who would have said, what are we waiting in Jerusalem for? Jesus has come. You have seen him ascending. He has gone. Why are we waiting in Jerusalem? Some people could have said that. And they would have left. They would have missed the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But look at what he says. When you go down to verse 46. Actually, let's start from verse 41. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. So look at what happens there. The first thing is the word is going. It says, they that gladly received the word. Gladly. What does it mean to receive the word? Receive the word means you hear something, you take it, it becomes your own. You start to run with it. Ah, I got something today. You start to run with it that way. So they received the word. They were baptized. It says, the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued in the apostles' doctrines. So, pastor is telling us what to do. You continue in the doctrine. What does it mean, continue? You don't just do it once and say, I said it was, that's it. No, it doesn't work like that. You keep at it. You keep saying it. You wake up in the morning, you say it. In the middle of the night, you say it. If you wake up, you say it. You are going to work, you're saying it. What are you saying? Whatever it is you want. Whatever it is you believe. That's what you're saying. So every time, I'm always saying to myself, I will never be stranded in life. I can never be stranded in life. It makes no difference if I'm there, there is no money in my pocket, and I'm trying to get on a train or trying to get on a bus and there's no way. It makes no difference. It makes no difference. The saying it means that it will happen. It means it will happen. But if I don't say it, then my chances of it happening are zero. At least happening by the word. Happening by the word. You can make it happen any other way, but it's not going to be the way of the word. And if you want it to happen the way of the word, you have to learn to say. You have to learn to pray. You have to learn to take what you have heard. Follow the instruction. We have run out of wine. Bring the pots. Fill the pots with water. Now draw out. So, in that story we read in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, it says, and you shall receive power. You know, this is a new thing that God has kind of opened my eyes to see. You know, the Bible says something, I think it's in the book of Isaiah. It says, in quietness and in confidence lies your strength. This thing doesn't take noise. It doesn't take noise. If you just speak a scripture, now, I look at scriptures, and they shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon them. Ah! That means I received power when the Holy Ghost came on me. So that means the question of power is sorted. That's now a past tense conversation. That's not a future tense conversation. That's a past tense conversation. When the Holy Ghost came on me, I received power. Now, because I have received power, I can be a witness. I can say to people that, this God, he is able to sort out the barren. And they say, oh, really? And they bring somebody that is barren. And you say, Father, this person is barren. In Jesus' name, we speak life. And then the person will come, they say, this is my baby. Effortlessly, it doesn't require noise. It doesn't require noise. So, it says, Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That's why we break bread every Sunday. They continued in that thing. They kept at it. They didn't stop. Why are you stopping? Why do you think I've tried so many years? I've tried so many months. I've sent that proposal so many times. I've spoken to this person so many times. I'm not going to speak to them again. Why? Why are you giving up? Now look at what he says. Because of these things they were doing. Verse 43 says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done up by the apostles. When you hear that kind of testimony, wouldn't you yourself be afraid? That kind of thing can happen. You'll be afraid. I know people who have been in this country for 15 years, 20 years. They are nowhere near that kind of testimony. Yet you enter into it effortlessly. Just because you are saying something, you wake up in the morning, you are saying something, or in the course of your day, you are saying some words. Listen, everybody in this church is meant to be a partaker of this thing. A partaker of it. Wealth beyond your imagination. But you see, for you to tap into that wealth, something has to happen. What are you doing? What is it about the works of your hand? What is it about the ideas in your mind? What are you thinking of? What is that thing that is going to cause the money to flow towards you? What is it? Peter was there. He said, we have toiled all night. We have been doing this thing forever. It's not bringing the result we need. All night we've been at it. But he said something. He said, nevertheless, at thy word. The same principle again. We may not look like we can get that type of thing. Nevertheless, because there was a word, I will do this. That is faith. That is faith. Some people say, but I tried it. It didn't work. I tried it. He's not trying it. Just do it. Do it. And once you've done it, just believe that. Listen, that thing is sorted. It's sorted. You keep saying, and you keep saying, and you keep saying. And you keep saying. I was somewhere yesterday, Neil and I were doing a recording. And it doesn't happen every time, but as we finished the recording, it turned out that there was a prayer that had to be said. And do you know, we finished the recording, and I just said, because you have shown favor, God will show you favor. Immediately, the person just said, hold on, let me get my husband. Listen, don't miss your moment of visitation. Hold on! Let me get my husband. As the husband came, I had no idea that they were going through certain challenges. But as she went to get the husband, listen, that thing has happened to me twice now. Once here, that was the second time it happened like that. The anointing just came like fire. Bam! Like an electric shock through me. And I said, my God, what is this? I knew straight away that God was sorting that family out. They did not miss that moment. Listen. This word we're talking about produces results in a way you cannot explain. When God started showing me the simplicity of this thing, I just said, God, all this noise is not required. It's not required. It's not required. I can make the noise in private. I can make that noise in private, but when it's not needed. It's not needed. Too much noise sometimes, it tries to cover up the fact that actually there's nothing there. Now, that family forever will be changed. Forever. And I looked at the time and I said, it's May 14, 12:25 p.m. You mark that time because that was the time your destiny changed. It's not every time the anointing comes like that. And that's what we've been saying about this thing about apostles and prophets. You have no control. The only thing that controls and triggers that anointing is the faith that you express towards it. It's the faith that you express towards it. If you don't express faith towards it, it's not triggered. It's not triggered. I've set a widow to take care of you. He thought that he was going there to be taken care of, but the widow needed something. And God had to orchestrate the situation in such a way that the man of God will have to go there. There was a famine. Clearly, a lot of other people may have been dying. She said, this is the last thing we have. We eat, we die. God sends the man of God there. He gets there. That was the moment of her deliverance. That was the moment. But, you know, people don't do the word. In James, the Bible says that, actually, let me show you something there. James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Doing what? Deceiving your own selves. Be ye doers of the word. Do the word. Do the word. We've said so many times here that we don't study to know, we study to do. We study to do. There is already a lot of knowledge. Very few doers. And because there are very few doers, there are very few results. Very few doers. Do the word. Do the word. Keep at it. Keep at it. It says deceiving. That means I can deceive my own self. I can deceive myself to believing that I am doing the word, when in actual fact, I'm not doing the word. I'm not doing the word. If I am doing the word, I will be commanding the results of the word. And when I'm commanding the results of the word, what happens? In Acts chapter 1, chapter 2, it says, they were there together doing the apostles' doctrine in fellowship. Fellowship. That means they were talking together. They were saying, you know what? I used that word. This is the result I got. This is what happened. Kenneth Hagin used to say something. He said in the days of the healing revival around 1948 to 1956, he said around that time that he would notice certain things working in his own ministry. As he was praying for people, he would say, okay, he's working like this. So there were some people, it was only deaf people that were being healed in their services. Other people, it might be crippled people that were being healed in their services. For other people, it might just be blind people that are being healed. In other cases, maybe just the barren. People just, if you are barren and you go to that service, taken somehow. He said to study and said, how come it's working for these people and this one is not working and that one? As he studied, he realized that those people believed that area more than they did the other areas. So the reason they were not getting the result in the other areas was because they did not believe it right. So he now said, okay, if that is the case, he then started to pray. He started to take all those other areas and started to walk on them, started to listen to the word, started to believe the word on those areas. So what happened? He started to get all manner of sickness, all manner of disease healed under his ministry. The blind were seeing, the lame were walking, people were getting out of wheelchairs. Why? Because he had found the secret. He had found that the reason those guys have only blind is because that's what they believed. That's what they believed. What is happening in your life today is what you have believed to date. It's what you have believed to date. Now, God will send men of God to help you along the way, as he's going to do this morning. To help you along the way. Come on, move on. He says, Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. The same way that I have asked God, Lord, favor the people in the service this morning. Let your favor be apparent on their lives. Let them enter into results that they did not think they would enter into. God, let mercy break forth in their lives. Now, he says, what things soever I desire when I pray, if I believe I receive, I shall have. So that means that I will have the answer to that prayer. And when we have the answer to that prayer, we say exactly what the Apostle Paul said. Ye are our epistles. So when the people, we say, just go and look at the lives of the people in the church. Go and look at the lives of the people in the church. I was saying to somebody the other day that the concentration of the anointing in this place is unbelievable. So many people say that we've been in churches, the way the anointing operates in this place is, I've not seen it. I've not seen it. Now, what that means is that individually, lives will be transformed. Lives will be transformed. Why? Because the power of the word is working. Lives will be transformed. People have needs, the needs will be met. People have financial challenges, those financial challenges are going to be met. Whatever the challenge is, there will be an answer to it. David came in with the 400 people. Destitute. People who had been rejected. The rejects of the world. People who will be considered vagabonds. People who will be considered those ones are no do goods. They can never make it. People who will be considered it's finished for them. Those same people became the mighty men of valor. The mighty men of valor. What made the difference? They were listening to a man upon whom the anointing was resting. The anointing of God was resident on David. And for that very reason, the transformation came to their lives. So he says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way. And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So when you stand in front of the mirror, why are you standing in front of the mirror? You are checking, is the tie okay? Is it okay? Is the earring well? Is the hair looking good? So you don't look in a mirror. You see that things are amiss and you go. Why did you look in the mirror in the first place? You went to look in the mirror so you could see that things were set in order. And that mirror gives you a reflection that you interpret to mean, yes, it is in order, no, it is not in order. So when you look at it, you see something is bent that way. It's because you know that it's not supposed to be bent that way. And how do you know that? The word. The word. So you find out that, listen, I'm not praying. You look at yourself in the mirror of the word. Ah, prayer is bent. Adjust prayer. Then you look again. Ah! Fasting is bent. I adjust fasting. Ah! Love is bent. I adjust love. And then I go out. And as I go out, I'm walking in love. I've invested time in prayer. I've invested time in fasting. And in my walk and my journey of life, I am now faced with a situation that requires prayer and fasting. Guess what? That was my lifestyle to start off with. So I don't get to a situation that requires prayer and fasting, and I won't be able to solve it. Why? Because I was already in prayer and fasting. I was adjusting myself with the mirror of the word. So you're not just listening to the word. We're not just hearers only. We are doers. Am I sowing seeds like I should sow? No. Okay, I need to adjust that for financial issues to be sorted. Am I paying my tithes like I should? No. Okay, financial issue should be sorted. One guy was giving a testimony the other day. He said he went, again, his wife, I wonder why I'm using so many examples of people's wives giving birth, things like that. Anyway, maybe somebody is about to receive something there. Actually, somebody is about to receive something there. Now, he said they went to the hospital. The wife gave birth. It was in the U.S. Wife gave birth. And then they now called him. He's a pastor. Are you telling us something? Praise the Lord. So the wife gives birth, and the hospital, you know, Americans, they don't spare you. They don't have NHS like we do. He said, so they came back and they gave him the bill. He said, I'm a pastor. They gave him the bill, $182,000. He said, ah! He said, immediately he got it, he just started crying. And the first thing he did was he converted it to Naira. Ah! 22 million in debt already because of a child. Ah! But he said something. He said he called his wife and they hit their knees. And he said, Lord God of heaven and earth, if I have ever missed a tithe, knowingly or unknowingly, then don't sort out this issue. But if I have never missed a tithe, knowingly or unknowingly, sort this case. Now, you know that for you to have that, you must be a tither and you must be a conscious tither. Conscious. And then all of a sudden, the following week, he got a phone call and they just said that we have decided to write it off. $182,000. Just like that. Why? Because he made a demand on the tithe. Listen, all these things are there for a reason. It's not a case of us just coming here, share word. No, it's beyond that. It's beyond that. And it's even beyond your own needs personally being met. It's beyond that. It's beyond that. It is the people whose lives are going to be transformed because they hear your story. The people who will be changed, who will be saved from hell. The people who will believe that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and our God is still alive. Those people is what is at stake. Your case is easy. Your case is sorted. Your case is sorted. You cannot be here listening to the kind of messages that come out from this pulpit and remain the same. it is impossible. Impossible. Completely impossible that you will be hearing this kind of messages Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and you will remain the same, and you will have no testimony. You will not be able to point to something miraculous God has done in your life. And first timers will come in here, they will walk out with testimonies. That was the guy that came in here for the first time. He said he had a pain in his wrist. Sat down there with the pain, walked out the door after service, the pain was gone. Gone. Why? These people were doers of the word. So look at what he says. He says, whoso looketh into, verse 25, James 1:25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He's not a forgetful hearer. He's looking into the perfect law of liberty. He's continuing therein. Continuing therein. I am not stopping. I am continuing therein. I am seeing all the areas that need adjustment. My love walk needs adjustment. The words of my mouth need adjustment. My thinking needs adjustment. Therefore, I need to renew my mind by thinking about the word. Think upon these things, whatsoever things are true, just, pure, of a good report. Okay, now I need to adjust because I'm always thinking about negative reports. So I now start to think about positive reports. I start to think about good things. Every time I hear the story of somebody that failed, I look for the story of someone that succeeded. Every time you tell me somebody that was sick, I look for the story of somebody that was healed. Every time you tell me the story of somebody who was in debt, I look for the story of someone who was a millionaire. Because if my thinking is not right, I cannot be blessed in my deed. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and the Bible calls it the perfect law. Why is it a perfect law? There is nothing wrong with it. You will never look in the mirror and see a reflection that does not speak good. Never. You will never look in that mirror and feel that there is a problem with this mirror. I need to adjust this mirror. The mirror is not, there is nothing wrong with the mirror. It's your mind. Fix your mind. There is nothing wrong with the mirror. The mirror is telling you the truth. You believe the truth. Respond to it. He says, he be not a forgetful hearer. It's easy to forget. It's easy to forget. That's why we always say, go back and listen to things over and over again. You can forget. Even when you have written things down, you can forget. That's why the Holy Ghost has a responsibility to bring things to your remembrance. Why? Because you forget. But you have a supernatural force that causes you to remember. And when you remember, you are remembering that thing so you can make amends. And once you have made the amend, he says, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. What was the doing of the work? That was taking the scripture, putting it on your confession sheet. So that means there was a confession document somewhere. That's what it means. That means they believed in the confession document. And now the rest is history. The rest is history. He says, this person will be blessed in his deed. Now look at verse 26. It says, if any man among you seem to be religious, we go to church, We do all the things they tell us to do in church. We engage in a lot of church activity. He says, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth. Ah! He deceiveth his own heart. He says, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. If any of you seem to be religious, your tongue should reflect your religion. If the words coming out of your mouth don't reflect your religion, then your religion is vain. That means you've not understood this thing. And if the words come out, now listen to what he says there. He says, you deceive your own heart. So there are words coming out of your mouth that is deceiving your heart. Your heart wants to reproduce after the God kind. Words are coming out of your mouth that is deceiving the heart to say, don't produce that. Don't produce it. No, no, no. This person doesn't need the good. He's already speaking the bad. So the words of your mouth, so powerful. I was thinking yesterday that, listen, believing is not complete until the words that come out of your mouth align with what you are believing for. You can't say I'm believing and the words of your mouth don't reflect what you are believing. It's not possible. And if you don't know what to say, you keep quiet. You keep quiet. It's not compulsory to talk. Silence is a good virtue. It's a good virtue. Just keep quiet. Don't talk about it. You don't talk about it. Silence is a good virtue. A good virtue. You can deceive your heart. And he says that man's religion is vain. Vain religion. That means we are doing everything like they're doing it. It's not producing the result. That will not be the portion of anybody here. For every single person here, you will see a manifestation of the desires God has given to you. You will see the manifestation of those desires. The great doors that will be opened before you, that you will walk into those doors, and nations will call you great. Nations will call you great. Nations will call you the blessed of the Lord. Nations will call you the anointed ones. Nations will call you the carriers of the glory of God. Nations will come to you and will say, take me to your God. Take me to your God. You will all find yourselves in that place. All of you will find yourselves in that place. Amen. The greatness of God will find expression in everything you lay your hands on. Amen. The greatness of God will find expression in your business, will find expression in your ministries, will find expression in your families. Amen. You will be blessed going out and you will be blessed coming in. Everything you touch will prosper. Amen. There is a commandment of prosperity over this assembly. And it means that you will all be partakers of that covenant. Amen. It means that this fruit of this land will yield itself to you. Amen. It means that you will not suffer like others are suffering. Amen. It means you will not go down like they are going down. It means that you will blossom. He says you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You will bring forth fruit in your season. You will not know a dry season because there is always water around you. Always water around you to increase you, to enlarge you, to enlarge your coast. Why? Because you are a doer of the word. You are a doer of the word. The challenges that you think are challenges, you see them now, but as the Lord God lives, those Egyptians you will see no more. Amen. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, He will favor you.
Amen.
He will favor you.
Amen.
He will cause the dew of heaven to come upon you.
Amen.
He will cause the freshness of heaven to be upon you.
Amen.
Goodness will come out of your household.
Amen.
Goodness will come out of your household.
Amen.
People will be blessed associating with you.
Amen.
People would increase because they come in contact with you.
Amen.
You see, you can't be a carrier of this kind of grace and things will not go well for you. It's not possible. It is not possible. It is not possible. Stand up. It's not possible. Just you. I saw something in the spirit. I've been trying to shake it, but I've not been able to shake it. I saw you in somewhere that looked like a valley. And you were trying to climb out of the valley. And every time you get to the top, just as you are thinking, now I've got the breakthrough, something drags you back down. And you go back into the valley. And you try to come up again and you get to the top and it drags you back down. As the Lord God lives, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that we serve, the next time you get to that top, you are coming out.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
You are coming out.
Amen.
Father, we give you praise. 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 He says, if you don't deal with the tongue, your religion is vain. We are not meddling in any vain religion. We are dealing with the power of God. The very substance of God is what we're dealing with here. And what that means is that we know no limitation. We're a company of people that are empowered to succeed. We are a company of people. Thank you, Lord. We are a company of people upon whom the grace that was upon the children of Issachar will be manifest upon our lives. Our hands will be on the neck of our enemy. All our brethren will serve us for one reason only. We understand the times. We understand the seasons. We understand the moving of the Holy Ghost. We understand the word. We understand how it works and what needs to be done to make it work. Blessing of Issachar. You know the times and the seasons. You will know when to move and when to stay. You will know when to buy the shares and when to sell the shares. You will know when to buy the house and when not to buy the house. You will know the way the wind will blow And because you know the way the wind will blow, you will position yourself aright. As the Lord God leaves, the wind of heaven will move you to levels you did not think of. The wind of heaven will blow you to heights and heights and heights and heights. For somebody here, the jump you will make will not be double. It would not be triple. It will be four steps.
Amen.
Four steps you will make, and you will jump. Father, I give you praise. Father, I give you praise. Father, I give you praise. When you stay in prayer, when you stay in prayer, it says they continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in it. So continue in everything we have been saying, everything we have been talking about. Continue in it in the privacy of your room. Pick the word in the privacy of your room and use it. And the quietness and the confidence to see the results, the grace to see it, God grants to you this morning. The grace to persevere, God grants to you this morning. The grace to hear the voice behind you telling you this is the way to go. May the God of heaven grant to you this morning.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name.
Amen. That was a very prophetic message. Because of that, I will just read a few things before we break bread. And it's a very prophetic message, I think. God gave me some instructions as I was sitting there. I'd planned for the church a 40-day, we were talking about the 40-day thing, but it was going to start in June, but I got an instruction of just starting next week. We did something like that last year, but in fact, I had to take correction. It says I didn't do it correctly. We're going to do a 40-day period, and I beg of you, participate. I'm begging, because after that season, you will enter into realms that you can't even control the move of God in your life. The flood is going to be so strong. So we start on the 22nd of this month, that's next week Sunday, and we end on the 30th of June. You see, and we'll actually, it's going to be very, let me not use the word intrusive, because the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine from day to, let's read that scripture again. You see, we're not here to play games, you know. Let's read it again. Because we don't do anything outside the word. I was saying, God, what's the specific word regarding this thing? And he just showed me here today. He says, 42. He says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in a breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wondered. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. It says, and they sold their possessions and goods, and they parted them among all the men, and every man had no need. It's 46 says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple. We won't come to the temple every day, but they continued daily with one accord in the temple. So it was a collective thing, and in breaking of bread, and from house to house, you know. So that's the instruction I got. So we're going to do that from the 22nd. We'll set the watches. We'll see if you drop your numbers. I think I have most numbers, but if I don't have your number, please drop it. Allow me, you know, so that we can send you reminders And this one is going to be, I'll write out the scriptures as God gives me in prayer concerning every area of life. And the one that concerns you. But the instruction is write down the things you desire, the things you want to happen in your life in itemized form. Because God was saying that people are not specific enough. And they won't see the power of God in their lives if they are not specific enough, you know. Because I haven't seen anybody that came to Jesus and didn't get an answer. It didn't happen anywhere in the Bible. It's not possible that you come to God with an issue and he doesn't give you an answer. It's not possible. It's not written anywhere in the Bible that you stretch your faith and reach out to Jesus and you don't get an answer. It's not possible. That is not, that doctrine is not from God. So write out in itemized form four things that you require, from the most important to the least important regarding your life. And I'll write out the scriptures concerning every area of life. I'm sure in those scriptures you'll find one that registers with you. And every day, we will send out the reminders to your phone. We're going to observe the watches. 6, 3, 6, 9, 12, 3, 6, 9. You start in the morning, you end up every day, you break bread every night before you go to bed. I'll write it out clearly how the instructions are going to be. And the last 3 days will be the fast, not every day. The last 3 days will be the fast. The last weekend of those days, going to end on the 30th, which is a Thursday, I think. But the last 3 days, that's the weekend before that weekend, that 30th, will be a fast where we will go. And one of the days, I don't know which of the days yet, we'll meet here for a prolonged period just to spend time praying, confessing God's word, and breaking bread. We'll pick a day, one of the days. I don't know the day yet. So it's a time of manifestation. That's what it's about, of practice. We want to practice it collectively. After this season, when you get to your own, I mean, in your own closet, you will know the things to do personally. So I want to carry everybody as one body. You know, people are at different levels of strength. So I want to go as one body, you know, to enter into this inheritance God has designed for us. So write those four things. I write out the scriptures. If peradventure, the scriptures I've written does not cover your case, which I believe it will, send me a personal text. This is an instruction I've received directly. Send me a personal text between me and you. Say, look, the scriptures, this is around the area I'm looking for. I will look for the scripture that fits that thing and will daily. So you will daily confess that thing until that thing breaks. There's nothing like the people of Israel not fast for 3 days together without seeing a result. It's not possible. So we're not interested in one that's been taking 4 years or 5 years. No, we're not interested in that. God is not. We're talking of the miraculous happening in our lives by the word of God. So we practice it together as a church. As a body, not one person will miss out on this thing. So that's what we'll do from 22nd. I'll bring out the exact program.